And now, coming to you from the gleaming spires of Chicago, broadcasting throughout the multiverse, the Nine Realms, Niflheim, Svartalfheim, Olympus, Nidavellir, basically anywhere that has the internet, really, we proudly present Radio Free Asgard.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to Radio Free Asgard. This is episode number 209 of the only Thor podcast hosted by a true descendant of Odin. My name is Tom Harris, and I'm coming at you, as always, from beautiful Chicago, Illinois, where Muspelheim has given way to, I don't know, the green fields of Asgard. It's gorgeous outside. We've had the most beautiful weather for the last couple of days, and we had some heavy rains over the weekend, and that has kind of created a nicer weather pattern here. And so I've got the windows wide open. If you hear the local neighborhood cicadas, you know why. It's because I've got the windows open, and they're out there, and they're singing as loud as they can. Unfortunately, with late summer also comes allergy season, so you can hear it in my voice. I know it. Sorry, there's not a lot I can do about it. Anyway, just a couple quick shout-outs here. Big welcome to Andy Kessel, who has joined us over on Podbean, a new follower over there. And, of course, to all of you who have joined on Twitter over the last week, we've had a number of people join us over on Twitter. And we're still not up to the numbers I'd like on Twitter, but, you know, we're getting there. I'm going to plug a podcast in a moment, a new podcast. But before that, I actually have an email from Gene, the podcasting machine. And this actually is kind of old now, and I keep forgetting to put it on the show. But if you remember back, this would be back a while ago, we were talking about, I think, the first or second issue of the new Thor series. And I had posed the question of Frigg versus Freya in the Marvel Universe. And Gene sends along a comment here. It says, "Tom, I thought I'd drop you a line on the Frigg versus Freya question you raised. I'm going to answer from a scholarly and a religious view. In either case, I would recommend this article for some history, and it points to Norse-mythology.org, Gods and Creatures, and you can go to the Aesir Gods and Goddesses and look up Frigg. Now, as the article states, the origins of Frigg and Freya, and even Idun, she of the golden apples, and no, that's not a euphemism, all basically started out as the same goddess. There's just too much overlap in what they're responsible for to ignore that connection. On a religious side, speaking for myself only, I consider them to be all different goddesses. Frigg is the wife of Odin and the matriarch of the Aesir. She is the one who is on equal level to Odin and even tricks him at times to get her way. She is also the one responsible for throwing him out of Asgard following the rape of Reindir." We haven't gotten to that. "Freya, on the other hand, is originally a Vanir, sister of Frey, and unmarried. She is greedy, willing to sell herself for her famous necklace. Freya is also the other one that chooses the dead from battle. Odin gets half, and Freya gets half for her hall of Volkfunger. Again, speaking from on a personal level, I believe that Freya's hall is a touch less warlike than Valhalla, probably more for the reluctant warriors rather than those that relish in battle. I mentioned Idun before because there are some tales that switch out Idun and Freya, with little else changed in the text, since Idun's only responsibility, as far as I can tell, is to tend the golden apples that give the gods their eternal life. It's pretty easy to see her folded into another goddess. Again, though, I consider her to be yet another goddess who just happens to have a narrow scope of responsibilities. I hope this helps," and that is from Gene Hendricks. So thanks, Gene, for passing that along. And I think we talked about that a little bit, even during one of our myth readings. This has been some time ago now. And I know I did a profile of Frigg at some point in the distant past before I ran out of gods to do profiles of. But it does seem that a lot of these gods, especially the goddesses, are very interchangeable. And you also have some really minor goddesses like Saga, who really don't do much of anything. And so it's really easy to combine them. And I suppose that could also be, it could be a local thing too. Some areas are going to prefer Freya, some are going to prefer Frigg. And every skald who was going around telling the stories in the ancient world, they probably had their own preferred versions. And so I'm sure that if you go back far enough, you're going to find even more confusion and not less. I think, you know, we have less confusion about it now because of Snorri, and Snorri actually sorted a lot of that stuff out. And because he's our main source for Norse mythology, kind of what he says goes, and that's kind of just the way it works. Now, speaking of mythology, we actually have a new Twitter follower, and it's a podcast, and I'm going to go ahead and recommend this to you, and that's because it's a freaking awesome podcast. Now, they have two episodes out as I speak. They also have a blog, and they have a lot of content going on their blog. They're basically doing what I do, except they're doing it right, and they don't talk about comics. But it's called the Legends, Myths, and Whiskey Podcast, and you can find that over at legendsmythsandwhiskey.com. And they've got two podcasts out and some extra stuff that they do every week. And they also gave us a shout out in the very first episode. So really, really thanks, guys, for mentioning us on the show. And, of course, I'm retweeting a lot of their stuff right now over on Twitter. So if you haven't joined us on Twitter, you should come join us over there, because I'm actually posting stuff over there that's not being posted on the Facebook group. So come join us at Radio Free Asgard on Twitter. And follow us. And of course, if I know you're following me, I'm going to follow you back. So yeah, that's just the way it works on Twitter. Anyway, so we do have an issue of Thor to cover. So let's just go ahead and move along to our review.
Cross the rainbow bridge of Asgard, where the booming heavens roar. You'll behold in breathless wonder.
Indeed. And this week we are looking at Thor number 5, which has a cover date of April 2015. Cover price was $3.99. Cover art is by Russell Dodderman and Matthew Wilson. Shows girl Thor standing atop apparently dead frost giants. And they've got these little glowing firefly type embers or whatever kind of on them. And she's standing with her back sort of to us, with her cape and hair being blown around violently by the wind. And it's a nice cover. Very well drawn, very well colored cover. And even the ugly logo looks good on this cover. And we then open up to the splash here, where, of course, you know, we have the opening page like we have to do. And we have a rundown of what's been going on before. A new Thor has arisen. After Thor Odinson found himself no longer worthy of wielding Mjolnir, a mysterious woman was able to lift the enchanted hammer and became the new goddess of thunder. But not everybody is happy about it, I'll say that. It's all Father Odin, who recently returned to Asgardia after a self-imposed exile where he served as his brother Kul's jailer, is not happy to see someone else using the hammer that he had created specifically for his son. And that son, the old Thor, wasn't happy about losing the hammer either. He went to confront the new goddess of thunder, but after a fight that shook up all 10 realms, he finally wised up and realized that she actually is worthy. The two thunder gods then joined forces to turn back an assault by the evil Dark King Malekith and the frost giants on Earth, or Midgard, as the Asgardians call it. With the day saved, Odin's son officially handed over the name of Thor, leaving the goddess of thunder to forge her own path as the newest champion of Midgard. Title of the story: Behold a New Age of Thunder. Jason Aaron is the writer. Jorge Molina, or George Molina, was the guest artist. VC's Joe Sabino was the letter and production person. We already talked about the cover. Variant cover was by Phil Noto, but we don't know anything about it. John Moisan is the assistant editor. Will Moss is the editor. Axel Alonso is the editor-in-chief. Joe Quesada is the chief creative officer. Dan Buckley is the publisher. Alan Fine is the executive producer. Thor is created by Stanley, Larry Lieber, and Jack Kirby. And our story opens in Asgardia, the city of the gods. A great and terrible crime has been committed in the heavens. And we open up with Odin on Hlidskjalf, the high seat of the Allfather, which very un-Simonson-like depiction of Hlidskjalf. You remember, Simonson depicted it much the way it's described in the myths, which is just kind of this really tall mountaintop, and you can kind of see everything from there. But this is a proper throne room with a big old chair and everything, a very Very well drawn throne room, I have to say, but it's not really Hlidskjalf as I understand it. And Odin is unhappy.
Mjolnir, the hammer of hammers, forged at my behest eons ago by the dwarven blacksmiths of Nidavellir from sacred Uru metal, and enchanted with a vestige of mine own limitless power, has been corrupted and stolen. Such a blasphemous crime must not go unpunished. This thief, whoever she may be, shall be made to face Asgardian justice. By the power of the Allfather, I say, let her be revealed! And he casts his arms open wide, and there's a kind of glow coming out of him. So his Odin magic, I guess you could say. And he is looking into a giant crystal ball, one of his many cosmic voyeuroscopes. And we see Thor, girl Thor that is, and looking slightly different because we have a different artist. Show me the Omni runes, Odin commands thee. Show me the faiths of this thieving sorceress. Show me the one who dares call herself Thor.
And so we see her in the crystal ball, and she's on Earth, and she is fighting the Absorbing Man. So we have a double page spread here of looks like Times Square. There's lots of glowing billboards and such about, and there's money flying everywhere. And it looks like Crusher Creel here has knocked over an armored car and is trying to steal the money out of it. And he's swinging his ball and chain around, and Girl Thor is coming after him, his lightning crackling off the hammer.
Lady, whoever you are, you picked the wrong fella to play dress-up with, because Crusher Creel ain't got time for fun and games.
And thou, Creel, thou hast chosen the wrong hour in which to plunder the wealth of Midgard. For Thor once more stands watch over the realms of men.
And for the next couple of pages, they're just kind of going back and forth and hammering on each other. And, you know, he's trying to strike her with the ball and chain, and she's knocking it away. And she's, you know, knocked down by him. She knocks him down. It's kind of going back and forth. And during this time, they're talking, because that's what you do in a superhero battle.
Thor, you're kidding me. I'm supposed to call you Thor? Damn, feminists are ruining everything. You want to be a chick superhero? Fine. Who the hell cares? But get your own identity. Thor's a dude. One of the last manly dudes still left. What'd you do? Send him to sensitivity training so he'd stop calling Earth girls wenches?
I care not what you call me, Absorbing Man. Just be certain to inform your new cellmates that 'twas a woman who returned you to prison.
All right. You want to be Thor? I'm going to treat you like Thor. It's been a while since I've absorbed the metal of that hammer. Once I do, I'm going to cram your own magic down your throat. How you like the sound of that, Tinkerbell?
Thou wishest to touch the hammer? Be my guest.
And she flings it at him and is flying all around him, all, you know, like she's been doing with the hammer the last few episodes.
What's gotten into this crazy thing? This ain't how it's supposed to work. What the hell kind of Thor are you?
The kind who just broke your jaw.
And while he's watching the hammer spin around him, she just, you know, belts him in the jaw with a big old crumb. And he sees blood coming out of his mouth. And she's thinking to herself,
that's for saying feminist like it's a four-letter word, creep. And also, you know, for robbing.
And we hear a voice from off panel here.
What the hell's going on here?
And we see Mjolnir return to Thor's hand. And we see it's Titania. You remember Crusher Creel's wife, also supervillain?
What'd you just do to my husband?
He broke my jaw.
You see, Crusher Creel's jaw is obviously broken here.
Hey, only I get to break his jaw. Who are you supposed to be?
Roar.
Thor? Thor's a woman now. Like the for real Thor? She ain't called She-Thor or Lady Thunderstrike or nothing like that.
Thor is Thor. Stand down, Titania, or you too shall know the wrath of the Goddess of Thunder.
Thor, Goddess of Thunder, I'll be damned. How come I hadn't heard about this?
Red Creer.
Hold on, Crusher. Let me handle this baby.
And she picks up Crusher Creel's ball and chain, and she starts whirling it around her head like it's nothing. And she lets it go and slams Crusher Creel right in the face with a thong. So, I mean, if his jaw was already broken, it's even more broken now.
I ain't fighting no woman, Thor, and neither is he. Not today, at least. I'm standing down, out of respect for what you're doing. Can't have been easy for you. Hasn't been for me, either.
Do not think this means I will allow you to flee, says Thor.
I'm not asking you to. A little prison time might actually be good for me in Crusha. When we've been out too long, he starts to get a wandering eye. But just so you know, this is a one-time girl power pass. Next time you get in my way, I'll rip you off your head and toss it in the Hudson.
Very well. And just so you know, I'm going to hit you now rather hard.
Kind of thought you might.
And she hits her rather hard in the face with Mjolnir and knocks her down. And we're going to have a lot to say about this at the end of the show. And we cut back to Odin in his cosmic voyeur scope. And he's like,
yes, she still stands, stolen hammer in hand, flaunting her crime. Show me her secrets. Show me the witch unmasked.
And we have a couple people come into the room, and it turns out to be Thor, the Odin son, the real Thor. And he's accompanied by the all-mother Freya, or Frigg, or Freya, or Frigg, or whatever it is. Anyway, Odin's wife.
Spying on other women, dear. What is your loving wife to think of this?
Think what you will, Freya. I am merely trying to right the wrong our fool son allowed to happen.
You couldn't lift the hammer either, father, says Thor, in case you've forgotten.
I do not believe he has forgotten that.
This masked woman will be called to account for what she's done. I will have that hammer returned.
I told her. It's hers now. Leave her be.
You told me. Have I been away so long you've forgotten the way of things, boy? You, Thor, do not tell your all-father anything.
I'm no longer Thor, says Thor. I've told you that as well.
It is bad enough this foul woman has stolen your hammer. She cannot steal your name as well.
She did not steal it. I gave it to her.
You cannot give away your birthright. I forbid it.
It would seem that you are the one who has forgotten the way of things, husband. Your son did not become willful overnight.
You have all become too willful in my absence, says Odin. Must I remind you that it was Odin who literally hung the stars? Odin who stands alone above all.
At this moment, father, all I need to be reminded of is...
What is he doing here?
And we have Kul, Borson, the god of fear. And he's standing there, and he's this big, scary-looking dude. He's got this big axe. He actually reminds me a lot of the one of the Dark Gods. Remember the Dark Gods from back in the Thor Volume 2 era? He actually looks like the main guy from that.
Hello, Odin, son. My dearest sympathies on the loss of your hammer and your arm.
Kul is my brother. He will have a place in court that befits his birth.
He's a butcher and a madman, says Thor.
He is that as well, but that does not change his blood. Kul and I spent many months together in the wilds of old Asgard. He has repented his sins, and I have forgiven him. He is a reformed god. Thus I have named him my royal inquisitor and minister of justice.
Justice, says Thor. Kul raised an army and set Midgard aflame. He sought to murder me.
I seem to recall that I did murder you, nephew, for which I do humbly beg your pardon.
I would rather see you beg for your life, serpent.
Cease this prattling, boy. Kul Borson is the minister of justice, and he will be respected as such. The All-Father has spoken.
And you hear, ahem.
Since the venerable All-Father knows all, I'm sure he is well aware that all royal appointments must first be approved by the Congress of Worlds.
Congress of... Bah! What need I have a Congress of Worlds? It is one more annoyance that needs to be disposed of, right after I have finished dealing with this thief.
And there's a... He has all these advisors or whatever, they're kind of coming around, and he's grilling them here.
Why have I not yet seen her face? Where are the witch's secrets I demanded?
I'm sorry, my lord, but there appears to be some sort of interference with the Omni-runes. The influence of Mjolnir's enchantment, perhaps, or...
Lord Kul, as Minister of Justice, your first order of business will be to jail every one of my royal viziers for the crime of utter incompetence!
As you command, my All-Father...
Oh, Lord Odin, mercy, we beg you.
See Freya and Thor walking away here.
This bodes ill, my son, for all of us. If you have any way of reaching this new Thor, you had best send her a warning.
I have no such way, mother, says Thor, but I will get right to work on that. And we shift scenes to a bar, and it's the Royal Asgardian Dining Hall, the largest bar in all the realms. Doesn't look that big, but okay, let's just assume they have a lot of floors. And Thor goes walking in. He's like, bartender, mead, leave the barrel. And he sits down and he's drinking and see all kinds of Asgardians hanging around, most of whom we don't recognize. But we do see a familiar form from behind. And it turns out to be the Lady Sif. Doth the Lady Sif drink alone? Asks Thor.
Ever since her lover fled her bedside like a bilge snipe with its tail in flames. Aye, she does.
Our parting came many months ago, my lady, and I would call that a far less than fair description of how it transpired.
Of course you would. By all means, do come staggering back to me now once you're desperate for something to hold in place of your precious hammer.
Ouch, says Thor.
I'm sorry, my lord. I should not have said that.
You speak your mind with the same fury with which you cross swords. 'Tis why I've always loved you, my lady.
Aye, it is why our love has always ended so badly. I fear we are too much alike, you and I.
To the eternal pangs of unwell love. And
to Sif and Thor. They do a little toast thing. Sorry again. I know you've asked not to be called by that.
We do not speak any more of my present woes, numerous though they may be. Tell me, fair Sif, how art thou?
I am well, I suppose, my lord, thank you. Though like many Asgardians, I fear for the future, and the transition that no doubt lies ahead given the Allfather's return. I have grown quite fond of having an Allmother and a Congress as well, and I must say I do not look forward to—
Where were you when my mother led her warriors to Midgard? Asks Thor.
What?
I mean, I did not see you there. Is all after the battle with the frost giants, I only thought perhaps—
Suddenly I'm thinking this is no happenstance social call you're paying me. You're wondering if I'm the one who took your hammer.
I did not say that, my lady, but did you? And Sif picks up her tankard of mead and splooshes Thor in the face and gets up from the table, and she's not happy.
The only thing I could possibly have less interest in holding than you, Odin's son, is that ridiculous hammer. Does that answer your question?
Not truly, no.
Next time you dare speak to me, Thunder God, you had best be armed.
And I think that's a little bit of a, I think it's a little bit of a pun there. Bartender, shouts Thor. My survival and yours depends on me receiving more mead with all haste. And he pulls out this scroll out of his belt, and it has a bunch of people's names on it. So you say it has Freya, and that's the only name that's actually crossed off. And so I guess he's trying to figure out who this girl Thor is. So he's got Hildegard, Brunhild, Eden, Tyrene, Jane Foster, Roz Solomon, Lorelei, Amora, Sif with a question mark, Carnilla, Kelda, Tananiel, Angela, and Loki are the names listed here. So one of those is more than likely the new Thor. We know which one it is. And then we shift scenes again, and we are back on the moon. And it is, I guess, where Girl Thor found the hammer. And she's standing on the moon and thinking to herself,
the more I carry you around, the harder it gets whenever it's time to let you go. I don't know how I feel about that, not to mention what you're doing to my...
And there's a giant Razak Doom coming from behind. And, of course, you shouldn't be able to hear that because you're on the moon. And it turns out to be the Allmother, and she's teleported herself to just behind Girl Thor.
I hoped I might find you here. Please, Thor, do not be alarmed. Do not fly away. I came alone by Bifrost. I came only to talk.
Lady Freya?
And she's thinking to herself,
I have to be very careful around her. I know how sharp she is. She can't learn my secret. No one can learn my secret.
And she says out loud,
it would be an honor.
You are wary. I understand. You guard your secrets as well you should. Know that I have no interest in those.
I believe you. Though I doubt that you speak for your husband as well.
My husband is more than capable of speaking for himself. Most days it is all he does. But you are correct. No matter your heart or your deeds, I fear the blessings of the All-Father will not be forthcoming.
And what of the blessing of the All-Mother?
I am told the age of the All-Mother has come and gone.
Just as I have been told that Thor cannot be a woman.
It would seem neither of us place much faith in what we've been told.
It would seem.
You carry that hammer well. You carry it when no one else in all the heavens can so much as budge the wretched thing. Though I hate to see my son in pain, I rejoice for you. I do. But I am afraid I come to you not now with blessings, but dark tidings. There will be trouble in Asgardia, my dearest Odin will see to that. He is not one to accept change willingly. Despots so rarely do. And there is already trouble in the realms beyond. If Malekith the Accursed continues to have his way, what are now but scattered embers will soon become a raging inferno. Dark days lie ahead. I fear that cannot be avoided. And no matter your secrets, no matter where your allegiances might lie, all of that turmoil and trouble will soon be coming for you.
I thank you for your warning, Lady Freya. Though perhaps you should warn this trouble that I will soon be coming for it, Mjolnir and I both.
That hammer is the greatest trouble of all, says Freya. It is a fickle mistress that makes fools of even the gods. Do not just be worthy of the hammer. You were not the first to wield it, and no matter your fate, you will not be the last. Be worthy of the name. Long after every hammer in creation has crumbled to dust, the name of Thor will echo still. That is the true honor you bear. That is the burden you must carry.
And Thor bows down to the All-Mother.
You have my solemn vow, All-Mother Freya of Asgardia, made here in the sight of the moon and all the stars, that I will die before I dishonor the legacy of Thor.
I pray I need never hold you to that vow, says Freya. Rise and go in peace, goddess of thunder.
And a girl Thor gets up.
But before you go, please, tell me one thing. How does it feel? How does it feel to be Thor?
How do you imagine it feels?
I imagine it to be unimaginable.
Not even close,
she says, and she's got this kind of smirk on her face. And we then see her taking off into the sky. Freya's looking up at her. She says,
should have picked the damn thing up when I had the chance.
And we shift scenes again, and we are back in the bar with Thor, and he's being confronted by, looks like, the Warriors Three here. And Thor's drunk, and he's like,
Nicholas Fury. 1,000 curses upon the rotting one-eyed corpse of Nicholas Fury. He and his damned whisper. That whisper is why I'm here, Volstagg is saying here. What whisper could have the power to do this to such a hero as Thor? Tell us, what was it that was said? Fury, he said, more mead. Fury said to you, more mead? No, Volstagg, that is what I am saying. Bartender, more mead!
Odin's son, says Fandral, I believe you had enough. Let Hogan and I help you to bed.
Ooh, my. Enough? You underestimate the pains of unworthiness, Fandral, my friend. It will be enough once I can hear no more whispers. Or fall in bed without dreaming of hammers.
And he is picked up by Fandral and Hogan, and they go wandering off. And we shift scenes again to, it is, describes it deep in the bowels of Asgardia. And it looks like Cool and Odin.
That damned hammer eludes me still, says Odin. As does the true identity of she who stole it. My royal astrologers can find no answers in the stars. My royal soothsayers see not. My royal soothsayers see not but mist in their crystal balls. Even all-seeing Heimdall can tell me nothing. My omnipotence is not what it once was, it would seem. What of the royal viziers?
They find their cells less than comfortable, I assure you, says Cool. But alas, it has not improved their magic. If perhaps I were allowed to more fully bear the fangs of justice, I'm quite certain I can spur them to a far greater fervency.
Do not give me cause to consider your appointment, brother. There is no need as of yet to resort to extreme measures. The more traditional methods will serve us just fine,
And there's a big kathoom as he opens this giant door. And it's opening up. And we see a light coming, spilling out from inside. And we see it's this giant, spotlight on the destroyer, looking very much as like he did in the movie, that kind of weird triangle-shaped head.
The destroyer will bring me the hammer of Thor on the broken body of the thief who holds it, says Odin.
And that is Thor number 5. And of course, we do have a few things to say about this issue. But before that, we have a few words here from one of our friends.
Hey, listeners, it's Ryan Daly here to give you an exciting sneak peek at the Secret Origins podcast, a review show dedicated to the post-crisis Secret Origins comics. Secret Origins told or retold or occasionally reimagined the origins of many of DC's legendary superheroes, including Superman, Batman, The Flash, Green Lantern, Green Arrow, Jonah Hex, Nightwing, Plastic Man, Batgirl, Blackhawk, Black Lightning, Booster Gold, Detective Chimp, the Legion of Superheroes, and 100 others. But I won't be alone in my coverage of these epic stories. I'm bringing the best and brightest and irredeemablest guest stars from the blogosphere and podcast community, such as Chris Franklin from the Supermates podcast.
I think this is a great idea for a podcast, and I wish I thought of it first, but it's in good hands.
Chris and I are going to be reviewing the first issue of Secret Origins, which tells the story of the Golden Age Superman. And now, Chris, I don't know if this has ever come up before on your own show, but would you say you're much of a Superman fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I am definitely a Superman fan. Superman, the movie, is still my favorite movie of all time. That's my Star Wars. I don't remember a time when I didn't know who Superman was.
Tim Wallace from Cord Industries, a blog devoted to Blue Beetle.
My friends, my close friends, would probably tell you that Aquaman was my favorite hero, and they wouldn't be too far off from the truth. But there was already a pretty decent blog covering Aquaman, so I went for my number two, which was Blue Beetle. And this issue actually has a lot to do with why he's one of my favorites.
Luke Giaconetti from the Hawkman blog, Being Carter Hall, in the Earth Destruction Directive podcast. Thank you for having the enthusiasm to talk about Halo, because this is not a character that I know much about.
I'm one of the oddballs in that I'm an Outsiders fan who doesn't like the Teen Titans, so I figure I'm pretty much required to do my due diligence in defending the members of the Outsiders team, especially one of the originals.
Siskoid from Siskoid's blog of Geekery and the Hero Points podcast.
One of the subjects I keep returning to is Golden Age superheroes. I like exploring the history of comics, and especially DC Comics, which has the biggest load of Golden Age heroes. In Secret Origins is full of these, because Roy Thomas wrote half the series or so, and just like he wrote a lot of Golden Age heroes and brought Golden Age heroes to the to our attention in the 80s, which was when I started reading comics.
And of course, Rob Kelly from the Fire and Water podcast.
The plan was, all this time, once we finished Who's Who, we were going to do the Secret Origin series. That was our next big project. And you have swooped in and stolen it. And I'm just saying, you better not screw this up. I mean, you're on episode 4 and you brought in your biggest guest star yet. But from here, if it's just downhill, I'm going to be really ticked off that you ruined our idea.
I wasn't really listening to any of that. Plus more incredible guests, including Sean Engel, Chad Bokelman, Kyle Benning, Nathaniel Wayne, Paul Scavito, Greg Araujo, Tom Panarese, Doug Zawissa, Aaron Moss, Alan Middleton, Max Romero, Gene Hendricks, Stella, Ange, Diablo Frank, and possibly even more. Join us as we uncover the secret origins of all your favorite DC heroes, except for Wonder Woman, and Aquaman, and Supergirl, and the Huntress, and Red Tornado, and Mira and Aqualad, and Jon Stewart the Green Lantern, and Wildcat, and Metamorpho, and Geo-Force, and Mr. Terrific, and Snapper. The Secret Origins Podcast.
And we're back. And of course, I do have a few words to say about this issue. And, this is almost a mirror image of some of the other issues that we've had recently, which have been all out action from beginning to end. And here we have a little bit of an action beat right in the very beginning with Girl Thor fighting the Absorbing Man and Titania. And I'm going to go back to that because I have a few other comments first before I start ragging on that. But basically, this issue was all about just talking. And we have a lot of conversations going on between, you know, Thor and Frigg, Thor and Odin, Odin and Frigg, and you know, Thor and Sif, and all this. And then finally Freya and Girl Thor. So a lot of it is just conversation. And, of course, now they're really getting into the meat of the mystery. Who is Girl Thor? And a lot of things going on here. Now, one of the things that really strikes me, and I think even more convinced that I'm right about this, is that Odin is not Odin. Odin's not acting like Odin. Odin is, you know, bringing villains in and making them close advisors. We've seen this before, folks. We've actually seen this pattern of behavior on the part of Odin in the past. And if you go back and listen to some of our old shows, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it seems more and more obvious to me that Odin is not Odin. And if that is the case, then it's seeming even more obvious to me that Nick Fury wasn't Nick Fury. And, you know, it was actually somebody else in disguise. Now, who can you think of who likes to be in disguise and, like Nick Fury, only has one eye? So, you know, I'm not saying, you know, but it looks that way to me. And maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong, but I think I'm right on this. And I have a feeling that I'm right about all of it. But, well, I guess we'll see as time goes on, because as far as I know, they still haven't resolved this plot. But anyway, so Odin, of course, acting very out of character. You know, he's an ass, but he's not this much of an ass. Now, going back to the first opening beat in this fight with Absorbing Man and Titania, I will say that, you know, the art throughout the issue is generally pretty good. In fact, I think I like this artist a lot. I don't like this artist quite as much as the regular artist on the book. I liked Outerman's pencils a lot. This artist tends to draw things a little bit more angular and a little more idealized. That's fine. I'm okay with that because the style works. What I don't like is the way that Thor's head looks, and that is Girl Thor's head looks, because she's wearing this metal helmet, which Dauterman is been drawing really well, and it actually looks like a helmet. And in this case, it just looks like a spandex mask. And it looks like it kind of stretches across her face. So basically, her nose is smushed flat, and it looks like it's skin tight. And the look just looks odd to me. It doesn't really work. It doesn't look like a helmet. It looks like a cloth mask. And I know that that's not how it's supposed to look. Now, getting into the whole, you know, Titania scene, is it just me or is this just completely fucking unrealistic? Now, you've got Titania and you've got the Absorbing Man. They're married. You know, they obviously have a very close relationship. We actually had a storyline where, this was some time ago now, where Titania was dying of cancer. And the Absorbing Man was committing crimes to try to save her. And was, you know, Mr. very much the devoted husband. And, you know, we were made to feel sorry for him and you know, kind of empathize with what he was doing. And they had this really close relationship. And, they, you know, he seemed actually sincere in his love. And then we have this conflicting information in this issue of, well, we've been out of jail for a while now. And you know, when we're out of jail for a while, you know, Crusher's eyes starts to wander. And it's out of character for Crusher Creel. It's also really dumb. I mean, obviously in the Marvel Universe, prison isn't much of anything. I mean, you know, these people go around destroying everything, you know, robbing banks and all that. They don't get very long prison sentences because, you know, the Absorbing Man and so forth, you know, they're around every couple of years. So, you know, you get, you know, 1 to 3 years for just about any crime in the Marvel Universe. That's how it seems to me. But to have his wife, A, break his jaw again when his jaw was just broken by Thor, and B, basically turn themselves in just because Thor is a woman, makes absolutely frickin' no sense at all. Not from any angle. Not from the feminist angle, not from the girl power angle, not from the angle of human beings. Does that make any sense? It's stupid.
If Titania had not acted that way for a male Thor, then she shouldn't act that way for a female Thor.
And I don't understand. I guess they're, you know, they're trying to make a point about feminism and, you know, these girls are sticking together. But when you really think about it, folks, how feminist is Titania? She's got so much of herself wrapped up in so much of her identity wrapped up in her relationship with Crusher Creel. Is that a feminist role model that you really want to have? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm all for feminism. I'm all for equality between men and women. But it just seems to me that this is just so heavy-handed that I just don't care for it. And it really, really puts a drag on the story for me. Now, I think that Aaron makes up for it later on in the issue. I think that a lot of the conversing that's going on actually serves a useful purpose. We don't have a lot of, you know, action for the sake of action like we've had over the last three issues. And so we're having a little bit of quiet time while people sort things out. And again, I think I'm right about Odin, and I think I'm right about you know, Fury as well. But it just seems to me that they're trying to be a little bit preachy here. And preachy in my comics I don't like. I don't like being preached at in real life, and I don't like being preached at in the comics either. So I will go on record as saying that this is the weakest issue as far as I'm concerned, just because there's this totally unrealistic scene in the beginning that kind of insults our intelligence. You know, they would really rather go to prison than fight a woman. Come on. Really. Honestly. That doesn't match anything we know about Titania. And it just to me, it ruins the book. So that's just kind of how I feel about it. If you disagree, please feel free to disagree, and please do so publicly. Please write us an email, leave a message on the Facebook group. You can actually email us at radiofreeasgard@gmail.com. You can also Twitter us, or tweet us, I guess they call it, over on Twitter, and that is at Radio Free Asgard, and you know, post your comments and so forth, and tell me how wrong I am about not liking that scene with Crusher Creel. You know, I'm not totally against the whole Girl Thor thing, but I tell you what, when something doesn't make sense, it just doesn't frickin' make sense. That doesn't make sense. All right, and with that, we're back over the Rainbow Bridge, back to Midgard, and we'll see you next time here on Radio Free Asgard.
You have been listening to Radio Free Asgard, a production of Tom Harris USA Productions, which is totally responsible for its content. The Mighty Thor and all associated characters are mostly copyright Marvel Comics. The stories presented are done so for educational, review, and entertainment purposes only. No ownership is implied. The silly voices, however, well, they're all me. Musical selections from Eden, The Invincible Sword of the Elfsmith, are copyright Mots Vent and are used with permission. If you like what you've heard on the show, we hope you'll leave us a review on iTunes, tell your friends, or even join our Facebook group. We really love hearing from our listeners, and we appreciate all of your support. Thanks once again very much for listening to Radio Free Asgard.